Hi and welcome to Inkra Singapore this Sunday morning. We greet you, very welcome, and please type something in the chat room to present yourself so we can greet you properly. And if you are new to Inkra Singapore, you are also welcome to type in the chat form, but please fill in a contact form so we can give you updates and we can introduce to us more how what we are and what we do, and all the Wednesday comes up. And we also encourage everybody to follow us on social media, for example, Facebook and Instagram, and also to join the WhatsApp group that we have, so we can give you updates directly in your phone with new information. All right. If you've been with us in Inkra Singapore for the last 3 months, we would encourage you to become a member. And you can use the WhatsApp group and just text it and you go directly to the office. And you can also contact your cell group leader, or you can just call the office directly and your application form will be delivered to you. Yes. All right. Today, after this Sunday service, we're going to have church fellowship. So we cannot meet in person, so we're going to do this on Zoom right after the service. And we're going to have fellowship, just chat with each other. And the credentials to the Zoom meeting will come in the end of the service in the chat form you see on the screen. So you're more than welcome to come and join us directly after the service. All right. Prayer meeting, 4th of August, 7:30 p.m. More than welcome to come and join us in church prayer. We're praying for family, church, countries, various topics. But this is open for everybody, no matter if you are in a cell group or not. If you are new or have been with us from the start, you are more than welcome to come and join the brothers and sisters in the church to pray together and come together in prayer. 4th of August, Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. You will get the credentials in the WhatsApp chat. Luke and Acts Bible study. We are doing this on Thursday. So next session is going to be the 6th of August at 8 p.m. And observe, this week's session is going to be live on Zoom, which means we have directly interactions with the teacher. And if you have questions that has been coming during this time we have been going through Luke's and Acts, please type in the WhatsApp chat and the teacher will have been provided answers for that specific question. And during this Zoom meeting, if you come up with a question, I want to know this one, please share it there and it will be talked about. Yes. Women of Faith, every Thursday, 9:30 a.m. So, Women of Faith for women's only, and Thursday mornings, 9:30 a.m. And they're doing a book study, also held on Zoom. If you want to join, if you're able and want to join, please register. And you can do that through the WhatsApp form, WhatsApp chat, and you will get more information directly. We cannot meet together in physical right now, so we cannot bring an offer bag, but offer can be done through electronic means. You can use the bank app to scan the QR code, or you can pay now or pay la, or do a manual transaction through your internet bank. And if you want to give by check, please use the WhatsApp chat again, and you will get the information you need. Thank you. Cell groups. Inkra Singapore is a cell group church, which means that we meeting in a big setting on Sundays and different Bible studies, etc. But we also meet in a smaller group regularly, which means that you have the opportunity to join in a smaller group with people of the same faith, and you will be able to hear their story of their life, and you will be able to share your story, which can be very blessing to somebody. And please fill in the contact form and we will get back to you shortly about that. All right. Thank you so much for listening to me. And right before we're going into to worship, we're going to start this with prayer. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for this Sunday morning. We thank you that you are here. And we thank you, Father, that you have a message for us today, Father. But before that, Father, let us come down in our hearts and our spirit and mind so we can worship you, because you alone are worthy to be worshipped, Father. So, Father, help us to sing for our full vocals and we can focus upon you and let everything that spins in our head and our soul to quiet down and focus soul on you, Father. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Good morning, church. God is great, and let's worship in spirit and in truth. All creation.
All creation cries to you. Worshipping spirit and in truth. Glory to the faithful one. Jesus Christ, God's Son. Our creation give you praise. You alone are truly great. You alone are far too great for eternity. God is great, and His praise fills the earth, fills the heavens, and your name will be praised through all the world. God is great, sing His praise, all the earth, all the heavens, cause we'll live before the glory of your name, the glory of your name.
All to you.
All to you, God, we pray. Jesus, teach us how to sing. Let your fire burn inside.
All may hear and all may see. God is and your name will be praised to all the world. God is praised, sing His praise, all the earth, all the heavens, and your name before the glory of your name, glory of your name.
Holy Lord.
God is great, sing His praise, all the earth,
cause we'll kneel before the glory of your name, the glory of your name, the glory of your name.
Hallelujah. God is great.
Stop working.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, there is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, there is who you are. That 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 is who you that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, deed and is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has broken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his son. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, deathless doors is free for me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. The promise, your body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the great has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the rolling lion declared the truth is looking on me. Jesus, yours is the victory.
Hallelujah.
Bro.
Let's pray. Father, we just praise you and worship you. God, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we thank you, Father God, that even though we are not able to meet together in person at this moment of time, we thank you, Father God, that through our worship and through our praise, you fill every home with your presence, God. And Lord, we just pray for those that, each and every one of those that are listening, God, that Father, you meet them in their situation, you encourage them, you walk with them, Father God. And Lord, we just also want to pray that as we go into the Word this morning, may you speak to us. And Lord, we just pray that our hearts will be open to receive what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Good morning, church. It's so wonderful to be together with you once again. And I just want to say that we are so thankful that today we get to listen to our senior pastor, Pastor Daniel. And I just want to encourage us, I guess there is not so much introduction that needs to be done, as most of you are very familiar with him. But we are so thankful that we get to listen to him, and I just want to encourage us to have our hearts open as he speaks the word of God to us this morning. So be blessed.
Good morning. I'd like to take this opportunity to greet In Christ Singapore. It has been a long time since I spoke to you because of the COVID-19. But I want you to know that you are not forgotten. The church is praying for you. And I'm glad that you are growing in the Lord. And I'm sure Pastor Sandra is feeding you spiritually every week. So I would like to assure you, although this is a sermon series part 4, every sermon is a standalone sermon, and you will definitely be ministered by the Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the opportunity to meet up online. And we know that, Father, you are there with the church members, and that, Father, you will continue to minister to them. I pray that, Father, our hearts will be receptive to your Word, that you will enable the Word to multiply 34, 64, and 100-fold in their lives. We give you praise and thanks that as your word goes forth, it shall not return void before you, but it shall accomplish all that you have purposed for it to do. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Good morning. It's good to meet all of you online again. We have taken time to study each character mentioned in the passage of Hebrews 11 for 3 Sundays. Everyone has a journey of faith with the Lord because the just are called to live by faith. What I'd like to cover today is by far the most important, even though it is part 4 of a sermon series. I would like to encourage every one of us to take hold of what rightfully belongs to us in the abundant life. We take comfort that none of the heroes of faith are perfect people. Gideon had his fear, doubts, and question about God while hiding from the Midianites in the wine press threshing wheat. He had a poor self-image of himself. However, we also read that if Gideon would not have seen and experienced the deliverance of the Lord, if he did not deal with his fear, believe in how God looked at him, acted on the calling of God, and stepped out in faith to deliver the people of Israel from the Midianites with 300 soldiers, it was Gideon's journey of faith. The other Bible character, Jephthah, had to deal with rejection, seeing he was born by a harlot. He was chased out by his stepmother and siblings. He was denied of his birthrights and inheritance. He was with the vagabonds when God had a better plan for him, and that was to make him one of the judges of Israel. Therefore, the setback does not determine the outcome of our future, because God can help us to have a comeback. It was Jephthah's journeys of faith. David's story stood out among the rest. He was a young lad who knew God and the covenant that he's entitled to. He was ridiculed by his brothers when he asked about the reward of delivering Israel out of the torment of Goliath and the Philistine. What set David apart from the Israelite was his knowledge of the covenant rites, his experience with the Lord's faithfulness, and he had a spirit of faith. He had a strong conviction of God's faithfulness and deliverance. Thus, he spoke out of his conviction about God. When David acted out in faith, he escaped the sword of Goliath, triumphed over him. David's victory brought courage, faith, and strength to the entire nation of Israel to pursue the Philistine. David showed us how faith looks like when it comes to walking out the lifestyles of faith and knowing God. You would have realized that each character in the Bible mentioned in Hebrews 11 had their struggles, inadequacy, setback, and suffering in the midst of their faith walk with God. Each of them had to fight for what they believed, or each of them had to rise up to take hold of what God has in store for them. They subdued kingdoms, escaped the sword, and carried out great exploits for the Lord. Are you aware that the Old Testament saints are cheering us on in our walk of faith with the Lord? Are you taking hold of what belongs to you? Hebrews 11:33 says, through faith, subdue kingdoms, work righteousness, obtain promises, stop the mouth of lions. We have been using Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31 to 40 as the main text of this sermon series. There are just too many characters in the Bible who have done great exploits for the Lord and have their names written in the Hall of Faith. Therefore, I will zero in on one of the characters referred in this passage where he obtained promises from the Lord and carried out what God has wanted him to do. Who are those whom we have read about in the Bible who obtained promises? There are many of them, but I would like to highlight the life of Caleb, the lesser known character between Joshua and him. Let us learn from his life regarding the lifestyle of faith. Joshua chapter 14, verse 8 to 14 says, nevertheless, my brethren, who went out with me, made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly folded the Lord my God. So Moses saw on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old, as yet I'm as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me, just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be given able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Caleb was making a recollection of the day when Moses sent out 12 spies to spy out the promised land. 10 of them came back with very negative reports and said that there were giants in the land and the Israelites were like grasshoppers in their sight. This is one of the lessons why Caleb and Joshua were different. Caleb and Joshua said that, you know, it is a wonderful land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and the Lord has given them the land, and therefore they should go in and possess the land. They had a spirit of faith, and that's what set them apart from the rest of the spies, and they were the only two who were allowed to enter into the promised land, whereas the rest of the Israelites were denied to enter into the promised land, including Moses. Now, I want you to remember this while I preach this sermon, that there is a parallel between the Israelites being a slave in Egypt and the promised land, as compared to us being slaves to sin and the abundant life that God has given us. The Israelites were slaves in Egypt just like we were slaves to sin prior to receiving Christ into our heart. The crossing of the Red Sea is similar to us entering into the baptism pool and coming out as a new person through our identification with Christ. The promised land was flowing with milk and honey is compared to the abundant life for us. God has promised the Israelites the promised land, whereas the Lord has promised us an abundant life. We have to take hold of what belongs to us in the abundant life, just like the Israelites need to conquer and chase out the inhabitants of the land in order for them to possess the promised land. We need to take hold of what belongs to us in the abundant life as we walk out the lifestyle of faith. The inhabitants of the land will be a thorn in their flesh and a briar in their eyes if they were not to listen to God by chasing each and every inhabitants of the land out of the promised land. Likewise, we will not enjoy the abundant life unless we deal with the flesh, with our flesh, and stand on the promises regarding what belongs to us in the new life in Christ. The Israelites have obtained promises given by God when they entered the promised land. Likewise, we are to obtain the promises that's given to us in the abundant life. Now, there are four categories of people among us now. There are those who have never heard the gospel. They are wandering in the wilderness despite of being successful in life. We need to tell them about the good news. There are those who have heard the good news of the gospel but did not choose to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They will die in their sins, but they do have the opportunity to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. The third category will be, there are those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but they still harbor the world in their heart. Just like the Israelites, they might have left the land of Egypt, but they still had Egypt in their heart. If we are Christians who have the world in our hearts, we are very carnal in our thinking, our behavior. We will never be able to enjoy the abundant life that God has promised us. The fourth category of people are those who have accepted the Lord as their Savior, and they are living in the abundant life by walking in the truth and walking in the Spirit. And these are the ones that we want to be, so that we will obtain the promises that's given to us in the abundant life. Now, which of the above category do you belong to? I would strongly encourage you to choose to belong to the fourth category, where you are born again, you know that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, the abundant life belongs to you right now, and you need to take hold of those promises that's written in the Bible and practice it so that you and your household will be able to enjoy the abundant life together. Amen? So, let us go to the first point. From slavery to freedom, and to take hold of the inheritance promised to us. Exodus chapter 3 verse 8 says, "So I have come down to deliver them out of the land of Egypt, and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites." Verse 9 of Joshua chapter 14 says, "So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God." Now, I'd like to bring to your remembrance that God is a God who delivers. You know, whenever his children cries out to him, he will act upon their prayer. He will act upon their cry. The Israelites were suffering as slaves in Egypt. The days in Egypt were getting harder by the day, because Pharaoh has instructed his people to torment the Israelites just in case they continue to be strong and overcome them. So when they cry out to God, God has to raise up Moses to deliver them. Likewise, we read about how God delivered David from the mouth of the lions and the bear. It is the same for us when we were slaves to sin. God has to send forth his only begotten son to deliver us from our sin and to pay the penalty for our sin, so that we can have a new life in Christ. As promised, the land is an inheritance given to the children of Israel by the Lord. It was a land that was flowing with milk and honey. The nature of God is to ensure that his people and creation are well provided for, as revealed in the Garden of Eden and this passage, where there was no lack in the promised land. Likewise, God desire for his children whose life has been restored by the finished work of Jesus Christ would be very different from their past. The Israelites inherited a physical land, whereas we have a spiritual inheritance and an abundant life. It is found in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to verse 18 says, "Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." We have an inheritance in Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul was so passionate about this biblical truth that he really prayed for the believers in the church of Ephesus, and include all of us. He prayed a prayer that the eyes of our understanding will be opened, so that we will know the riches of our inheritance in Christ. We have an inheritance after we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. These are the new creation realities that God wants us to know so that we will have that identity in Christ in order for us to live out the abundant life. So what I'm trying to say is, if we want to live out the abundant life, we need to know that we have this inheritance that belongs to us right now, so that we will have a change in our identity. We will understand what are the new creation realities in our life so that we will live out of these new creation realities. Why is this so important? Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You would have realized how the fear that Gideon had affected his faith in God. You would have realized how Jephthah was affected by his background of being born by a harlot and being rejected by his father, his stepmothers, and his siblings. He had to deal with all those things. And whereas for David, I mean, he knew God and he knows the covenant rights that belongs to him. That's why he did great exploit for the Lord. He is a personification of someone who knows God and do great exploit for the Lord. So likewise for us, when we know that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus and we have the redemptive realities, and what are the new redemptive realities that belongs to us in the abundant life? And it is found in Ephesians chapter 1, where we say we are found to be seen in Christ. We are seen in Christ to be blameless, righteous, holy, accepted in the beloved. We are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are seen as righteous. Amen. We are the child of the living God. So we are seated together with Christ in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All this inheritance belongs to us now, despite of the fact that we are still imperfect. Amen? Yeah? So I want you to know, remember again, the purpose of this sermon is to help you to understand the parallel of how the Israelites were delivered from the land of Egypt, crossing the Red Sea into the promised land. They had to deal with the inhabitants of the land. Whereas for us, once upon a time, we were a slave to sin. We have the sin nature in us. The moment we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have an inheritance in Christ that we are blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are a new creation with the nature of God in us. We are supposed to take hold of what belongs to us in the abundant life by obtaining the promises that is given to us in the Bible. Amen. So this is what we want to take hold of in our lifestyle of faith. It is not just about having a good job, having a wonderful life as a corporate man or a businessman, but prospering spiritually, emotionally, physically, because that's what God wants us to have in the abundant life. John 10:10 says, "The thief does not come except to kill, steal, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and they have it more abundantly." Now the Bible is very clear that the work of the devil is to kill, steal, and destroy. He's here to steal our joy, steal our peace, steal our marriage, destroy our marriage, destroy interpersonal relationship, and affects our life with God, our walk with God. But Jesus said, "I came to give you abundant life." God wants you to enjoy the abundant life now. The abundant life belongs to you and I, and we are to obtain all those promises that is given to us in the Bible in order for us to take the abundant life. Amen? So we need to take it by force, what belongs to us and in regards to what's written in the Bible, so that we can truly enjoy the abundant life just like the Israelites enjoyed the promised land. But before they enjoyed the promised land, they had to deal with the inhabitants of the land, drive them out, conquer them with the help of the Lord. Likewise, we are to deal with our flesh with the help of the Holy Spirit, empowering us in our inner life in order for us to enjoy the abundant life. There are certain things that we need to take hold of. Amen. Now, 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prosper." Now, prosperity is not just about having a good job, being well paid, being an expatriate, or you know, having just more than enough financially. God wants us to have a holistic prosperity, which means we are safe, we are walking with the Lord, we are growing in the Lord every day, we are growing from faith to faith, from glory to glory, spiritually, we are doing well. And then God wants us to prosper in our soul. What does it mean to prosper in our soul? Prospering in our soul means we are doing well emotionally, in terms of interpersonal relationship. We are doing well mentally, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind, especially during this time of COVID-19 when our lives are being disrupted. And it could bring about different stress points in our lives, especially those who are staying at home and you begin to pick on each other's lifestyle and practices and idiosyncrasies. We need to decide to walk in love. We need to decide to walk in forgiveness, to extend grace and mercy to one another. And when we begin to do that, we will prosper in our soul. Our interpersonal relationship with our friends, with our loved ones, with our spouse, with our children are good. So we are doing well emotionally and mentally. And then for our body, you know, we need to take care of our body. We need to exercise. We need to eat right, eat correctly, not all junk food all the time, but home-cooked food so that, you know, we should exercise so that we are healthy in our body. This is holistic prosperity. Amen? And that is part of the abundant life that God wants us to have. Of course, all of us will die one day. Our body system will fail, and slowly the body will get weaker and weaker, and we will take our last breath and enter into the presence of the Lord. Amen. And that's eternity that God has planned out for us. The wonderful thing that we need to know is we are no longer slaves of sin. Romans chapter 8 verse 2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death." Yeah? "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death." Now, bear in mind, I'm talking about entering into the abundant life, taking hold of the promises that's given to us. This is a promise. The promise to us is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There's a life living in us. There's a new life empowered by the Holy Spirit. Has helped us to conquer the law of sin and death. Now, before we became a Christian, we were under the law of sin and death. We were a slave to sin. The things that we do not want to do, we will do. And we are under the slavery of sin. There are habitual sins that torment us and cause us to affect our relationship with people, affect our relationship with God. The sin nature held us in slavery to sin before we accepted Christ into our life. Therefore, there will be habitual sins that we find it difficult to break away from its bondage. It need not be sexual or immoral practices, though that these can be stronghold too. It could be in the area of hatred, vengeance, unforgiveness, bitterness, rage, physical or verbal abuse of others, uncontrollable at times, addiction to pornography, drugs, substance abuse, a life that's away from God, and we don't seem to be able to break free. It's a law of sin and death operating in the life of an unbeliever. It is like the slavery in Egypt and driven by the slave master. We were slaves to sin in our lives before we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So this scripture tells us there is a new law operating in our life right now. It is called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, let me give you an illustration. What does it mean? What is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? Now, the law of sin and death is like the law of gravity. All of us are subject by the law of gravity. Yeah, nobody's able to break free from the law of gravity until we apply the law of aerodynamics. When an aircraft line up on a runway and when a pilot apply full throttle, all the turbines begin to turn and the aircraft run down the runway. When the law of aerodynamics begins to operate, it will break away from the law of gravity and the plane begin to take off. So if we were to live our life based on our own strength, it's like the law of gravity. Well, we will not be able to overcome sin and temptation. But if we allow the Holy Spirit, who works through the new creation in our heart to overcome sin, it is like applying the law of aerodynamics against the law of gravity. So what this scripture is trying to say, tell us is we can have a new life in Christ. Amen? Where the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus set us free from the law of sin and death. The chain is broken. Amen, in your life. Sin has no longer has any hold over you right now. You can have victory over temptation. And that's what the Bible is saying. Amen. So, our life are being changed for the better the moment we have accepted Jesus Christ into our life, we're able to enjoy the abundant life of love, joy, and peace in our lives in the view of this ability of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We can either continue to choose to allow our flesh to dominate us because we are so used to the habit of the sinful nature, or we can choose to empower the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that set us free from the domination of the flesh. This is possible because our spirit man is the new creation and has the nature of God. The Holy Spirit resides in us, and the same resurrection power through the work of the Holy Spirit enable us to have victory over temptation. This is one of the many promises in the Bible that we can live out when we walk out the lifestyle of faith regarding what belongs to us. Isn't it exciting? Yeah, I'm also excited, and we can all apply this biblical truth in our lifestyle of faith, and our life should get better and better. In terms of interpersonal relationship, in terms of drawing closer to God, in terms of growing spiritually. Now, let me give an example. Now, the emancipation that was set forth, announced one day that all the slaves were being freed. There's no longer any slavery anymore. It was announced. But we all know that there will be some masters, unscrupulous masters, who will deceive the slave by saying, "There will never be such good news for you. Remember, I bought you with a price, and you are supposed to be my slave for life in my household." Up to one day, when the slaves begin to see other slaves walking freely on the street, then they begin to realize that, hey, actually, this proclamation of the emancipation is true, and they begin to walk out of the household of their masters and begin to live a lifestyle that is free from slavery. Brothers and sisters, we need to not listen to the deception of the devil that we are still under his dominion, we are still under the bondage of sin, which is not true, because whom Jesus has set free is free indeed. Romans chapter 6 verse 18 says, "And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." Praise God. Once upon a time, we were slaves of sin, but because of the fact that Jesus has set us free, we become slaves of righteousness. That means you will be able to do what is right in the sight of God. You will be able to take hold of the promises that's written in the Bible in regards to who you are in the new creation, with the new creation realities. As you continue to practice that, you will experience the new kind of slavery, which is a slavery to righteousness. When you become a slave of righteousness, you know, you will prosper in every aspect of your life. You will prosper in your walk with God because you know that you are seen to be in Christ. You will realize that you can, you know, you can love better as compared to once upon a time you're full of hatred, anger, you know, bitterness. But when you know that you're free, you're able to allow that love of God to flow out of your heart. You see people differently. Amen. You see people with the love of God, with the grace of God, with the mercy of God, and you begin to extend grace and mercy to the life of those people around you. And that's where your soul begins to prosper, your feeling begin to prosper, your emotion begin to prosper, and your body become healthier. You seem lighter. You walk with, you know, with freedom. Amen. So one need to be decisive to leave the slavery from sin. Since we have been set free, we must want to pursue it and walk out the newness of life together. Praise the Lord. And the key thing is to decide to love and follow God wholeheartedly. Verse 8 says, "Nevertheless, my brethren who went out with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord." Isn't it fantastic for Caleb to wholly follow the Lord and not to be affected by what other people say? Likewise, you and I, we are supposed to follow the Lord. Now, the Israelites were very different from Caleb. And let me give you an example. Exodus 14 verse 11 to 12 says, "Then they said to Moses, 'Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, "Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness."' Can you imagine? God raised up Moses to deliver them from slavery in Egypt and bring them into the promised land. But when they encountered problem, two occasions when they were at the edge of the Red Sea before the sea were parted, they murmured and complained against Moses. You know, although they have left Egypt, but their heart was still in Egypt. Likewise, when they were at the Promised Land, just before, at the edge of the Promised Land, and when the 10 spies came back with negative reports, they murmured and complained again. They were not appreciative of what God was doing for them. You know, they complained that, why do you bring us here? I mean, didn't we tell you that we want to rather be in Egypt than to come out to die in the wilderness? They were not following the Lord wholly. But for you and I, we're able to love the Lord wholly because we are a new creation. We have the nature of God living in us. We are able to appreciate the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Amen? So likewise, it says here in Luke chapter 10, verse 27 says, so he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and with your neighbor as yourself. You know, the new creation has the nature of God and the residence of the Holy Spirit that enable us to love God and live our life very differently from the past. Basically, speaking, we have been set free from the bondage of sin and have the ability to overcome the power of sin and death. But we need to take hold of it and desire to enjoy the abundant life. Please allow me to elaborate. That's why I said this is the most important sermon out of the four-part series. We need to take hold of what belongs to us so that we will obtain the promises. Verse 10 and verse 12 of Joshua 14 says, and now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, and he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke the word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Now, the whole generation of the Israelites died in the wilderness because of their murmuring, complaining, and especially their unbelief that God was able to deliver them from the inhabitants of the land. It was Joshua and Caleb who were allowed to lead a whole new generation to enter the Promised Land. Both Joshua and Caleb were very different from the rest of the 10 spies, and they saw things just as God has promised. Joshua and Caleb were not affected by the giants of the land. Amen? They saw God to be bigger than the giants in the land. And what made Caleb different? Verse 12 says, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fortified, that it may be the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Now, the difference between Caleb and the rest of the Israelites is because he had the spirit of faith in him. Numbers 14:24 says, but my servant Caleb, because he had a different spirit in him and followed me wholeheartedly, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Because he had a different spirit, he had an attitude of a can-do spirit. He had a spirit of faith that as long as God is with him, he's able to conquer the Anakim. The Anakims are the giants in the land that, you know, they were so huge that the Israelites were paralyzed in fear that they will not be able to conquer the land. But because Caleb believed that God is with him, God has promised them to have the land, even at 85 years old, he still had a spirit of faith, said, you know, Joshua, give me this mountain. And you know, Hebron of today is the place where, for those of you who have been to Israel, is a place where Abraham, Isaac and Jacob's tombs are located. Now, when Caleb stood there, although the city was fortified, there were huge walls and there were giants in the land, but Caleb knew that as long as God is with him, even though he's 85 years old, he is still able to conquer the land. My challenge to you is, it doesn't matter what age you are of today. As long as you are growing in the Lord, as long as you know that your faith is growing by the day, as long as you know that your inner man is strengthened every day and is renewed every day, that the spirit of faith is in you. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And when you know that the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is operating within your spirit man, and that your spirit man is a new creation, you have the ability to conquer anything that used to hold you back. Amen? It doesn't matter if you receive Christ at the age of 50 or 60 and you have a lot of worldly indoctrination in your mind. All you need to do is to renew your mind by thinking and believing that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death, and you are supposed to take hold of the promises of the new life in Christ. And your life will begin to turn around. Your family will begin to turn around. Your interpersonal relationship will begin to turn around. Those strained relationships with your siblings, with your friends, with your colleagues will begin to turn around because you're able to love like never before because the Spirit of God lives in you. And the Spirit of God is the Spirit of love, of joy, of peace, of patience, of kindness, of goodness, of gentleness, and of self-control. Praise God. These are the promises that belong to you and I. Amen. It is an exciting life. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're not happy, I'm preaching myself happy. It is a choice. Can you imagine? Numbers 33:55 says, "But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be the irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sight, and they shall harass you in the land where you dwell." You know, I started off by this sermon by saying that there is a parallel between the promised land and the abundant life. Both the Israelites and us have to deal with people if we want to have peace, love, and joy in our lives. God's instructions to the Israelites were to completely drive out the inhabitants of the land. If they do not choose to drive out these inhabitants, then they will constantly harass them in the land where they dwell. Just like the Egyptians found the Israelites to be a great threat after the death of Joseph, and Pharaoh made them slaves. Likewise, God knew that the inhabitants of the promised land will harass the Israelites, and these people will be an irritant in their eyes and a thorn in their sides. Therefore, the Israelites have to be decisive to drive them out so that they will not intermarry with them and be led astray by them to worship idols. If they are led astray to follow other gods, then God's wrath will be raised against the Israelites because of the Mosaic covenant, which is a conditional covenant. Likewise, if we want to enjoy the abundant life and claim this promise, then we have to deal with our flesh as a believer because we have been given the ability to overcome temptation and sin that comes from the lust of the eyes and the lust of our flesh. Every one of us have to deal with the flesh and bring it into subjection daily. Let me repeat that again. Every one of us have to deal with our flesh and bring it to subjection daily. Now, our flesh will be with us until the day we die. Yeah? The sin nature is no longer with us, but our flesh, our senses, our feelings, and so on and so forth will dictate how we behave, the decision that we make. But the decision that we make, if it's not in line with the Word of God, it is the flesh. So we are supposed to bring it into subjection. That's why the Bible says to deny ourselves, pick up the cross daily, and follow Christ. There are certain things that we are not supposed to do. There are certain things that we are not supposed to say. There are certain things that we are not supposed to watch. That's why we need to deny our flesh, pick up the cross, and follow Christ. You know, to crucify our flesh, to die a thousand deaths every day, so that the life of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus will live out of us. Amen? It is a daily choice. So that's why Paul was making a comparison between the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus and the law of sin and death. At the same time, right now, he's talking about those who sow in the Spirit and those who sow in the flesh. Those who sow in the flesh were of the flesh reap corruption. For those who sow in the Spirit were of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So what Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8 tells us, how are we supposed to inherit the promises? It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh were of the flesh reap corruption, for he who sowed to the Spirit of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Now, there is a choice right now. Before we became a Christian, there were no choices. We were all walking with our sin nature. We were slaves to sin. But the moment we receive Christ, we have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that overcome the law of sin and death, and we are able to walk in the Spirit with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in the new creation, so we can sow in the Spirit. Amen? So this is obtaining the promises that God has given us, that we have a new law operating in us right now that set us different from the people of the world. So what's the definition of the flesh? The flesh is the sum of appetites, desires, wishes, and needs, which purpose is the satisfaction of self. Everything in our life that wants to live independent from God and does not bow to God, this is the work of the flesh. And you will know. Because every time when you are faced with a situation and you know that it's a temptation, it is wrong, it's either we succumb to it or we overcome it. So bear in mind, let me remind you again, you have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus working in you right now in the abundant life. You can choose to be different. Amen? Praise God. So what is the work of the flesh? It's sexual immorality, bitterness, wrath, clamor, evil speaking, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, faction, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. This is the work of the flesh. I mean, if you are allowing this to reign in your life, you will have no peace. You will have no joy. You will not be able to enjoy the wonderful warmth of a family because of the practices that we allow to happen in our lifestyle. So let me give you an example. We might have been a very insecure person who likes to control our spouse and the people around us. It caused a reaction from the other person who despises being controlled. We might even have been a person who is very sharp-tongued, who speaks condescending words that belittle people. And our words hurt the person whom we profess to love. Very soon, the emotional reservoir of the person you proclaim to love will run dry and the relationship will be strained. There will be no love because we are sowing into our flesh. We did not renew our mind to choose to sow love and forgiveness and grace and mercy. There might be a lot of jealousy that comes out due to the insecurity or emotional baggage that we had while growing up. Therefore, we have created a very toxic environment in the home or the marriage. For example, Jephthah, in the earlier part of this sermon, I talk about Jephthah. Jephthah was born of a harlot. He was rejected by his father, rejected by his stepmother and his siblings. He was chased out. He was denied of his birthrights and a family. He had to deal with all these things. Likewise, we have to deal with all these things in our past. These emotional baggages has to be dealt with. Amen. And allow the love of God, the nature of God, the new creation of God, the new creation realities in our life, the security that we are found in Christ Jesus to flow out of us so that we can live our life very differently from the past. We will not be held back by all these emotional baggages. We are not prospering in our emotions, though we are a new creation, if we allow this to pop out. We know that the life and death is in the power of the tongue. He who speaks of it will eat of his fruits. Therefore, we need to change the way we speak. We need to change the way we look at our spouse, our family members, by saying those things that's similar to what God says. God called those things that are not as though they are. We are supposed to call our children, our spouse, as blessed, as a changed person, see the good things in them, affirm them, encourage them, motivate them, and call those things they are not as though they are. And when we begin to do that, and when we do to others as we want others to do unto us, if both of us are Christians, and when we reciprocate in affirmation and praise and calling those things that are not as though they are, let me tell you, we are rebuilding our family. We are rebuilding the relationship. Likewise, if you are courting someone right now, you might want to practice it now, because the more you practice it, the better you get, and then you will be ready for the marriage. Yeah, and let us not devour each other with our words and our action before we get married and carry into the marriage. And if we do that, definitely the marriage will fail. We are not enjoying the abundant life. So if we want to enjoy the abundant life and take hold of the promises that God has given, we need to practice the new creation realities. We need to practice what God has taught us to do, that is, call those things that are not as though they are. We need to practice the five love languages by affirming each other. Praise God. Therefore, we need to change and claim these promises that we are a new creation. We are secure in Jesus Christ. Our words can be seasoned with salt. We can speak blessings and word of edification and affirmation, just like God called those things that are not as though they are. Therefore, you will say things differently, address things differently. Once we begin to practice and claim these promises, then we will see our marriage relationship with others, our home environment begin to turn around for good. Likewise, the courting couples should be practicing all this in order to learn how to bring a closure to the differences in our lives. Amen? Now, God is not mocked, the Bible says. We need to deal with our flesh or else it will hinder us from enjoying the abundant life. We cannot expect God to restore relationship if we are the ones destroying it. We cannot expect God to bless our marriage if we do not choose to work out the differences, bring a closure to the issue at hand, walk in love and forgiveness, or choose not to harbor bitterness. We are not prospering spiritually, emotionally, and sometimes it affects our health. We are sowing into the flesh. We are reaping a strained and broken relationship. Don't sow in the flesh. It is a choice. If you are sowing in the flesh, you are not obtaining the promises that is meant for you in the abundant life. We cannot expect God to bless our business if we are unethical in our practices. We cannot expect God to bail us out if we have been following the ways of the world. We cannot expect God to bless our plans if we have not consecrated our lives to God, because we are sowing in our flesh. We are doing what we like to do and not what God wants us to do. Yep. We cannot expect God to help us to walk in victory over sin and temptation if we are exposing ourselves to vices, unhealthy websites, or visiting place of temptation. We are sowing in the flesh. We are reaping a bad reputation, possibly our marriage and our finances. Praise God. God is not able to deliver us if we willfully disregard and disrespect the law of the land. We are sowing into the flesh and reap the consequences of facing the wrath of the law of the country. Now, we, in closing, praise God. In closing, we walk in the Spirit and obtain the promises when we believe that we have been set free from the law of sin and death. We claim the promises that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is operating within us. We believe that the same power of the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives in us, empowering us to overcome the temptation and the sin that used to dominate our life. This is obtaining the promises in order for us to enjoy the abundant life. Amen? And this is what we want. Our lifestyle of faith is to obtain the promises that is given to us to enjoy the abundant life, and that's meant for every believer of Jesus Christ. We choose to walk in the Spirit by sowing love, grace, forgiveness, and mercy to our spouse and to the people around us. We will reap love, we will reap a wonderful and blessed marriage. We are obtaining the promise by faith that we can do that. Amen. Now, let me say this. There are couples out there. You do not know what to do with your marriage anymore. Your marriage is strained. It is challenging. Let me encourage you. Obtain these promises that belong to you. Humble yourself. Each one of you. Lay down your rights. Walk in the Spirit. Practice this biblical truth towards each other, and you will see your marriage turn around. It will get better by the day. Extend grace. Don't harden your heart. Soften your heart. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life today. When we sow in the Spirit to walk in love towards our loved ones and neighbors, then we will have joy in the family and the office. We choose to walk in the Spirit when we do unto others as we want others to do unto us. Practice that. Do unto others as you want others to do unto you. Amen. We reap a blessed relationship in the office and the neighborhood. We choose to walk in the Spirit when we honor and respect those whom God has placed us under their authorities, regardless whether it's the government, church leadership, or corporate heads. We reap an environment of peace and favor with the authorities. We will enjoy the abundant life, and we are obtaining the promises by faith. You are able to change the atmosphere in your office by walking in the Spirit. You can be different. You can be a person full of joy, full of love, full of grace, and full of mercy. You can make a difference because you are called to be the salt and the light of this world. And that's partaking of the promises and living out the abundant life. Praise God. We choose to walk in the Spirit by consecrating our plans to God. We walk in the Spirit when we surrender to God by saying, not my will but be done, but your will be done. This is there is protection over us when we do that. We reap the peace of mind, good sleep, and the blessing of God. We will enjoy the abundant life. Do not take it for granted that you can have a sound and good sleep because you're walking in the will of God. Because the Bible says, unless the Lord build a house, we labor in vain. It is vain to rise up early and to sleep late. You are able to sleep soundly because you choose to consecrate your life to God, obtain the promises, and your business belongs to God, your job belongs to God, you can rest in peace. This is part of the abundant life. Amen? And you walk in the Spirit by trusting God to protect you, to obey the law of the authorities, to put on a mask, do social distancing, wash your hands, do not go out unnecessary, look after yourself. And until there is a vaccine for COVID-19 or viral treatment for COVID-19, we will come out victorious. Amen? Choose to obtain the promises in order to have good health. Praise God. So what have we been sowing in our lives? Have we been walking in the Spirit? Have we been allowing the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus operate in us? If we are, then we will truly be living the abundant life by obtaining the promises in regards to who we are in Christ. We have a new identity. We have an inheritance with the new creation realities. We are to live out the new creation reality so that we will enjoy the abundant life. This is the major lifestyle of faith, where we are blessed holistically, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And by all means, trust God that He will bless you with a good job, your business will turn around, just like the rest of the people in the Hall of Fame, where they subdued kingdoms, obtained promises, sealed the mouth of lion, escaped the slaying of the sword, and to carry out great exploit for the Lord. Do all those, but at the same time, have a wonderful relationship with God and the people around us. Let us pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'd like to ask a very critical question this morning. If you're not a Christian, you have heard the gospel today regarding how Jesus has delivered us from our sin and how He's able to turn our life around by having the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus operate in our hearts today. The most important thing that you need to do is to accept Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. If you'd like to accept Jesus Christ, say this prayer together with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die for me on the cross of Calvary. Forgive me of my sin, for I'm a sinner. Come into my heart to be my Lord, to be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have said this prayer, I'd like to encourage you to take note of my email that's written at the bottom of this page. Write to me. I'd like to hear from you. We'd like to follow up with you by giving you a Bible study book, and someone will journey with you in your new life with Christ. Right now, I'd like to pray for every one of us. Father, I give you praise and thanks that your word has gone forth. It shall not return void before you, but you shall accomplish all that you have purpose for it to do. I pray for all my brothers and sisters in Christ that we will begin to walk in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that has set us free from the law of sin and death. That, Father, as we walk out the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, we begin to obtain the promises that's meant for us in the abundant life. I pray that, Father, we will begin to enjoy the abundant life where we are blessed holistically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and physically. And now may the love of the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.